two switches. Should be on now. Are we up? There we go. Hey, y'all are about to get lucky. But just dismiss and let's get out of here. Let's go eat. I want to start this morning real quickly and just say to you that, I appreciate the opportunity to be here. I appreciate the time that I've spent here and how welcoming you have been to me and my family. And I love y'all. I don't do, just so you know, I don't do tearful goodbyes. I've traveled a lot, done a lot of missions work, and been in a lot of churches and things like that. And I just tell them I don't do tearful goodbyes because I'm sure I'll see you again here. But I mean, if I don't see you again here, we'll all be together in heaven one day, and we can have all that fun then. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's just a journey. Glad to be a part of y'all's for a little while. And I'm excited for you to see what God's bringing next. And this morning, if you want to turn and go ahead and open your Bibles and turn into the book of Exodus, we're gonna talk a little bit about the nation Israel. This was something that I had been thinking about doing on my last Sunday here. One of my favorite stories, favorite books of the Bible is of course, y'all know my favorite chapter is John 17, but one of my favorite books in the Bible is the book of Joshua, because the book of Joshua is testimony to us that God keeps his promises. We know that God keeps his promises, and we know that he'll do the same for us. And so, we as God's people, we've been given a lot of promises in his word, just like the children of Israel were. And those promises are ultimately for victory and success. And we talked a little bit about that in the past few weeks, about how we are to live in the victory that God has given us already. The battle's already won. God has achieved the victory in our lives, and we have to live that way. We have to learn to live that way. And of course, I'm sure you're familiar with the story of the children of Israel. Most of you are. And you know that they did not live in the victory that had been given to them for a long time. And it cost them a lot. Cost a lot of people their lives. Cost a lot of people a lot of pain and suffering. And so I want to preface the message this morning just by saying this. I'm not fussing at you this morning at all. I want you to think, me and some of the few of the members, we were here last, I think it was last Sunday, and we were discussing a little bit, maybe over a couple Sundays ago, and we were talking about, a little bit why has God allowed your church to go through what it's gone through over the past couple of years? Because, I mean, you've lost a lot of people. You've lost a lot of people, and you've gained a lot of, hopefully you've gained a lot of knowledge through that and learned some lessons. The children of Israel did the very same thing. God had given them some promises. They started out strong, and they lost a lot of people along the way. But God had a purpose in doing that. It was to teach them a lesson about trusting him. And I hope that you, as you move forward, will learn to trust God just as the people in the book of Joshua, where they finally trust God and they go and take what had already been given them. Remember, the promise was made to Abraham many, many years before, and God had never told the children of Israel that they would have to do anything. He said to Abraham, "I've given you. It's already decreed from me that you will be a great nation, and every step you take, everything you look at is yours." And God's made a lot of promises to us in the same way, and most often we don't enjoy those promises that God gives us just because we choose not to. We choose not to live within the victory that God has given us. So that those promises, again, like I said, they're there for victory and success and doing what God requires of us. God does not promise. I had a customer of mine. She said, I was talking to her yesterday, and she said, she was watching a particularly popular TV preacher. And she was talking about that, that he was proclaiming success over, over God's people and all these things and prosperity and all that stuff. And y'all are familiar with prosperity gospel, I'm sure, that, if you serve God, God's just going to put, he's going to fill your bank up. And he's going to give you new cars and do all those things. And that's not what God's promised us. God has promised us victory and success in doing what? Making sure all people know him. That's what God has promised us. That's the only promise that we have from God is, not the only promise, but that's the main theme of the promises of God, and that is that we will fulfill his will in our lives, in our churches, and ultimately that we will take other people to heaven with us along the way. And that was God's plan for the children of Israel. coming out of Egypt, and it's his plan for us still today. But, you know, the promises of God are given to us so that we might live a life pleasing to God, and ultimately that we will be a free people who live God's way. And so I'm excited for you guys. I really hope y'all are as excited for yourselves as I am for you, because I know that this has been a long time coming for y'all to have a pastor. What I hope there's one lesson I want you to take away from the story of the children of Israel today as we go through these verses. And that is, great leaders come, great leaders go. God puts good men in places. God puts great men in places. But ultimately, it's up to you as a church to choose to follow God. That was the choice that God gave the children of Israel, was follow me. And they chose not to. And it didn't matter. Moses was a great leader. Joshua was no greater of a leader than Moses was. Matter of fact, God said, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. So they were very comparable, different leadership styles, but they were very comparable in their leadership. You had a great pastor before, right? You had a great man who stood behind this desk. You've got another one coming. He'll be here next Sunday. He'll be a great man. He's a completely different leader, just as Moses and Joshua were two completely different leaders. But ultimately, the success of Herman Baptist Church rests in your lap. It does not rest on Nate. It does not, because men come and go. And as you know, when your last pastor left, and maybe we shouldn't be recording this morning, because I don't want to hurt nobody's feelings or anything. But you had a great man. You have another one coming. God has allowed you, though, to go through a wilderness period for some reason. Was it because of somebody that's not here now? We don't know that. It doesn't matter. What matters now is that you take that step of faith forward and you commit to God, not to your pastor. You commit to God. We will follow this man as long as he follows you. I hope you will do that. The story of the children of Israel is one that we should all know, because it gives us a glimpse into what can happen if we fail to trust God. It also shows us that living a life pleasing to God is quite simple, actually. You know, when we read the Old Testament, we read the book of Exodus, we read about the law and all those things, it seems very complicated, but it's not so complicated. Those rules were given to God's people, given to Moses to give to his people, because the people were unfaithful to God. They were not trusting God. And so God said, I'm going to give you some rules and some laws and some things that you're going to follow, because obviously you can't control yourselves. Obviously you can't control yourselves. And that same word of God has been given to us today so that we can follow God and know what God wants of us, because we are an unruly people. Would you agree with that? We are people who are rebellious. We rebel against God constantly. We rebel against the things that God wants us to do. So God has given us his word. So if you want to be successful as a church moving forward, if you want to move into Herman Baptist's promised land, then I suggest you get in the word of God and you dig and you find the path that God wants you to take. The journey of Israel out of captivity was a given. It was not a maybe. It was not a hope so. And the same thing is true for us today. God has promised us that if we will focus on him, and if we will worship him, and if we will put him first in the journey to let all peoples know about him, that he will take care of us. He will make sure we're clothed. He'll make sure we're fed. And he will do his part if we do our part. God is not going to make you. As a church, as Herman Baptist, God is not going to force you to be successful. This church, 10 years from today, it can be the same thing it is right now. It can be less. That's up to you. It can also be exploding. This church can explode. You have enough people. You have enough people within reach of this church that you can be busting out walls in this church. That happened before. Did it, some of you, were all of you here then? This church, whenever you had to move out of the other building, right? Why'd you have to move out of the other building? Didn't have room. That's what God wants to happen in every church. Every church is to grow. I've told you this before. Unless you're in the middle of Montana and there's only, 8 people within 100 miles, that's understandable. we have no excuse here in Union County. One of the fastest growing places in the country right now. People are pouring in. And God has given us the tools. He's given us His Word. He's given us His promises, just as He gave the children of Israel. Only thing we have to do is trust Him and follow Him. And He will do the rest. See, God had made a promise to Israel to deliver His people. And all they had to do was just trust Him. So if you've turned in your Bibles, if you haven't yet, we're going to be in Exodus chapter 3 for a few minutes. And we're going to start reading in verse 10 of Exodus 3. But let's pray real quick. I want to pray real quick before we get started. God, I thank You for this opportunity. God, You know that this type of message, God, I pray that You would just sink this into the hearts. I pray You would quiet the hearts and minds of your church here at Herman today. And God, just let them hear a little bit about this story as we walk through this. God, let them hear Your Word and hear You speak to them. God, I pray that You'd get me out of the way, that You'd hide me behind the cross, and that nothing I say would be displeasing to You, but everything would bring honor and glory to Your name, and that these people would be encouraged and to take the step of faith that's already theirs to take. God, I pray Your blessing over this service. Let Your Holy Spirit work in my heart to these people and work in their hearts to receive it. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. In Exodus chapter 3, verses 10 and 12, and the hardest part of this message was weeding out, was finding which verses to use in this story, because there's so much in the story of the children of Israel. The hardest part was narrowing them down. But starting in verse 10 of Exodus 3, if you'll read along with me, it says, "Therefore..." This is God talking to Moses. He says, "Therefore, come now, and I will send you to Pharaoh so that you may bring my people, the sons of Israel, out of Egypt." But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the sons of Israel out of Egypt?" And he said, "Certainly, I will be with you. And this shall be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought..." Listen to that. How what God says to Moses. He states to Moses that the children of Israel, the exodus out of Egypt, it's already done. In the mind of God, it was already done. It was complete. He says, "When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall worship God at this mountain." See, the promises of God are facts. They are not hopefully, they're not maybe so. They are facts. The promises in the Word of God are facts given to you and I so that we can know and trust God. Now, by a show of hands, how many people in here have ever claimed some of the promises of God? Who has claimed a promise of God and God has blessed you and given you something? Sometimes it's different, right? Sometimes it's financial things. Sometimes it's spiritual things. Sometimes it's little things. Sometimes it's big things. But we as Christians, we've all experienced the promises of God. If you're saved, you've experienced the greatest promise of God, and that is, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but what? Have eternal life." And it's the greatest promise we've ever been given in the Word of God, and it is ours. We can trust it, we can believe in it, we can know it. And so, same thing here. God was giving the children of Israel these promises, and He was telling them, "I've already done this. This is already done. All you have to do is follow Me." And that's the same thing God is calling Herman Baptist to. God has given, He has promised that He will bless this church, and that He will bless your effort. It's throughout His Word. Pick up the Bible and read it. You will see promises throughout the New Testament, especially to the church, of what God will do. And we've discussed a lot of those over the past year and a half or so that I've been here. We've talked a lot about that. And those things are God has promised us that He loves us. And how, what are we to do with that love? We are to love others, right? We've talked about this. We are to love others as God has loved us. And there's a lot of things. There's all kind of promises in the Word of God. God has promised He'll never leave us nor forsake us. And God has promised us so many things in the Word of God. And we have all experienced many of those promises. And the children of Israel, God had given them these promises. Turn over. I want you to turn over to Exodus chapter 12. We're going to skip through here and hit a few verses. And then after we read these verses, I just want to talk to you. I just want to talk to you this morning. I don't normally do that as much. I normally just read a lot of verses to you, and we hit some things there. But I want to talk to you from my heart this morning of what God has given to me about this subject. But look at Exodus chapter 12, verses 40 and 41. It says, now the time that the sons of Israel lived in Egypt was 430 years. 430 years. You guys have lived in 2 years of you know, no leadership. And these people had been in captivity, slaves, for 430 years. And it says, verse 41, it says, and at the end of 430 years, to the very day, all the host of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. What does that tell us? God keeps his promises. He told Moses. Moses said, I can't do this, God. God said, it's not you doing it, Moses. It's me doing it. You are just an instrument in my hands. That's the same thing you and I are. We've been called to do what? Go out into the world and make disciples. God has given us every tool. God has already promised us that he will bless our efforts and he will give us the harvest. Jesus stood on the mountainside one day and he said, don't say, when will the harvest come? He said, look out into the fields. The fields are white and to harvest already. The field, and here at Herman Baptist, the fields are white. The fields are white. And your new pastor that will be here next week, I'm going to say this probably 2 or 3 times before I leave. I said this to you last Sunday. His job is not to come here and make disciples in this community. His job is to come teach you how to make disciples in your community. Is he to be a disciple maker? Yes. But his primary job is to make sure you know how to be a disciple maker. He is to shepherd you, to guide you, to correct you when needed, and he is to lead you. Same exact responsibility that God had given Moses for the children of Israel. God had said to Moses, I've made some promises to my people. I made some promises to Abraham way back when, and I'm going to keep them through you. God can use Nate Martin to do great things here, but it's up to you whether or not you will fulfill what God has for this church. Same as it was for the children of Israel. It was not because Moses was a bad leader that things went wrong. It was because the people refused to follow him. The people refused to follow God, and they refused to follow God's man. And therefore, God allowed them to go through a time of cleansing.
Why has God allowed our church?
And so I would ask you to ask yourselves this morning, why has God allowed our church to be purged and for people to be gone? For us to be less? Why did God thin our ranks? Well, it could be, I'm not stating this as fact, but it could be that the promises God had made to Herman Baptist over the years was not meant for those people. Is that a possibility? You think that's a possibility that some people, the promises of God are not meant for the people that don't believe? And the story of the children of Israel proves that out, that the promises are not for everyone because some people choose to not believe them. Exodus 12 verses 50 and 51 says, then all the sons of Israel did so. They did just as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron. And on that same day, the Lord brought the sons of Israel out of the land of Egypt by their host. God keeps his promises. That's the title of my message this morning. God keeps his promises. When you read these verses, you think, wow, God had made a promise. He took them through the plagues. He allowed the people of God to be brought out miraculously. And you would think, just as you have a pastor coming next week, you would think that at this moment in the lives of the children of Israel, that they would be, I mean, they would be so in love with God that they would follow Moses anywhere. Because he has just delivered them from the most painful experience they could ever suffer. He has delivered them. God has used Moses to deliver them. And you would think, they would look at Moses and say, God made a promise to us. He did it. And glory to God, we will follow him till the day we die. But they didn't do that, did they? They didn't do that. It should have been that simple because God had made a promise to Abraham that he would make that nation. And all they had to do was to trust God. All they had to do was, we're going to start a movie. All they had to do was trust God. That's all you and I have to do. And if you have not heard anything I've said over the past year and a half, hear me when I say it. You have to trust God in this journey, in the next journey. Would to God that Nate Martin would stand in this pulpit for the next 30 years and lead this church, just like Mike. God used a man named Mike Whitson at First Baptist Indian Trail to step into a pulpit when a church was at about 300 people, and he's been there 30-something years, and God has used that man to build a tremendous work of God. Is it because Mike Whitson's a great man? No. It is because Mike Whitson trusts God, and he has followed God, and the church has followed him. Is Nate Martin, will this church be great because Nate Martin's great? We don't know, right? You don't know that yet. Maybe Nate Martin might be the next Billy Graham. You don't know that. He may be here 2 years. He may be here 30. It doesn't matter. It's not about the leader. It's about the people. And you as a people of God, you have to choose to trust God and follow him, or no one can lead you into the promised land that God has for this church. It's not going to happen. It's going to take hard work, it's going to take trusting God, and it's going to take trusting Nate. You're going to have to trust that he is following God and that he is leading you down the path of God. How do you know that? How do you know if he's leading you in the right path? You have the Word of God. Open it up. Read it. Get on your knees and pray. And ask God to fill him up with the Holy Spirit and to use you to minister to him. And as you lift him up, guess what? He will do great things here. He will be like Joshua. He can be Joshua. He can be Joshua. He can lead you into that promised land. As you well know, the story of Israel is anything but simple, and it's riddled with heartache, death, and disappointment. Was it because God was not a good God? Was it because Moses was not a good leader? Think about the story for a minute. The people are delivered in glorious fashion, they come to the Red Sea. Remember that first experience, that first big experience that the children of Israel had after this deliverance? They get to the Red Sea. God tells Moses what to do. And what are the people doing the whole time? They're not thanking God. They're not praying. They're screaming at Moses, "Why did you bring us here? You brought us out here to die." God does the one of the greatest miracles in Scripture. He parts the Red Sea. They cross over. They get to the other side. What do? It's glorious. They sing this majestic song about God destroying the army of Pharaoh. They do. It's all wonderful and good. And so they continue forward on their journey. God provides water for them. Water from a rock. He provides food. There's food falling from the sky. And if y'all are hungry like me, that's a good thought. I wouldn't mind having a little manna right now. But, you know, God, he's doing all this stuff. They move on to Mount Sinai. And God gives Moses the law to teach his people obedience, love, and respect. So the story should end well, right? I mean, it should end well. God delivered them. He provided for them. All they had to do was just follow him. They were a couple months away from being in the promised land. I mean, actually less than that. It's a matter of, probably could have been a matter of weeks that this people could have just walked across there and entered right in and claimed the promises that God had given Joshua and Caleb whenever they spied out the land. They could have done this. They had nothing really to complain about. Of course, you know, that's not how the story goes. And so I would say to you today, your story here at Herman Baptist, it can be great. It can be one of God's promises being fulfilled here. It can be one of God doing great things in this community through this church. Does this church have to be 7,000 members 10 years from 20 years from now? No. But it needs to be growing. Could it be 7,000 members in 10 years from now? Yes, it absolutely could. That's up to you, not up to your pastor. That's up to you to trust God and to have faith in God and for you to lift up your pastor and help him to teach you and train you. The people grumbled about everything. They fought God. They fought Moses every step of the way. But the fighting and the grumbling is not the problem. Do you realize that fighting and grumbling is just a human? It's just a thing we do as humans. It's going to happen. It doesn't matter how good things are, how bad things are. Some people are going to grumble. Differences are going to arise. Things are not going to, you know, you have a new pastor here. He's a young man. He's coming to stand in here, and you know that some of you are seasoned. You've been around a while. You've been on your journey for the Lord longer than He's been alive. You think He's going to want to take some steps in this church that might ruffle your feathers sometime? Yes, I hope so. God, I hope so. I really hope He's willing to take some risk, because that's what it'll take. Fighting and grumbling is not the problem with the children of Israel, and neither will it be the thing that holds back this church. The thing that held back the children of Israel is the same thing that will hold you back in your personal life, and it'll hold this church back, and it'll keep God. It will stay God's hand from blessing this church. And what is it? It's one word. It's unbelief. Do you believe that God will keep His promises? Do you believe that God will do what He said He would do? What did He say He would do? He said He would save people. He said He would keep them, and He would never let them slip from His fingers. And that's the message you need to take to this community, is that God has made some promises to you, and you don't even know it, but we're here to tell you what they are. How do you do that? You bring them in. The first step is to invite them to the church. Invite them to come to the church. Why? Now, I was in a church before, and I'll tell you that I could not invite everybody I met into that church, because there were some things going on in that church, and there were some attitudes from certain people in that church, and some people were not welcome in that church. God help you if there's somebody in this church that would shun anybody because of their skin color, their preferences, I don't care if it's their sexual preference, I don't care what it is. They need Jesus. It doesn't matter. You don't have to like their life. You got to love them, and you got to bring them here, because God's promised land includes them too. The promised land is for them too. It's not just yours to sit back here and go, "Oh Lord Jesus, come take us out of this mess because we're done." No, that's not how this works. You know, I said fighting and grumbling is natural. Unbelief is not. Unbelief should not be natural for Christians. Why? Because you've been given the ultimate gift from God. You've been given the Holy Spirit. You've been given eternal life in Jesus Christ. And if you know, you say, how many of you can raise your hand right now and say, "I know I'm saved"? God kept a promise to you, didn't He? Did God keep a promise? I'm going to ask you, did God keep a promise to you? If He can do that, if He can save your soul, don't you think He can take care of this church? Don't you think He can take care of the finances? Don't you think He can take care of the parsonage, the issues you have? Don't you think God can do all that? God's got all that. He's got it all in His hands. You just got to trust Him. You got to follow Him. You got to get on your knees and ask Him and cry out to Him. Don't cry out at the leader. If Nate Martin comes here and 2 years into it, things ain't going so good, don't fuss at Nate. You lift Nate up to God and you get on your knees and you say, "God, is it me? Am I the problem? Am I the problem?" Because that's what needed to happen for the children of Israel. They didn't need to be fussing at Moses or fussing at God. They needed to be fussing at themselves. They needed to look in the mirror and say, "We're sorry, God. We'll trust You." And so that's what I'm asking you today. Are you willing to do what it takes to allow God to use Nate Martin to build this church, rebuild this church again? Are you? Ask yourself that question. Am I willing to do whatever it takes? Because you're going to have to do it. You've had good men stand in this pulpit and lead you. And starting this week, you'll have another good man standing in the pulpit. But the question is this: will you trust God? Will you follow? Will you follow your leader into Herman Baptist's promised land? Because as you well know, the people that eventually reached the promised land, they entered into it just as God said they would. And if you turn over into the book of Joshua, you'll find that it was very simple. It was quite simple. God told them, said, "This is what's going to happen. You consecrate yourselves because we're going on a journey. We're going to finally do what we said, what I promised you 40 years ago. It's going to happen. Consecrate yourselves. Get up early in the morning and go." Guess what? They did. They got up early. And they did everything that God told them to do. And they walked right across the Jordan River. Priest stepped out. As soon as the priest's feet hit the water, waters parted, they walked into the promised land, and there they were. Finally, guess who wasn't there? Who wasn't there? Moses wasn't there. Why was Moses not there? Was it because? What was it? Why did Moses not get into the promised land? Unbelief, right? He struck the rock twice. He did something that God had told him not. He did something that God had not told him to do. He didn't believe God. What about all the other people? Do you realize that not one person, not one of the adults that started out on that journey 40 years, not one of them went into the promised land. Why? Unbelief. They did not believe God. Who went in there? The people that just had enough faith that didn't know any better. That's the same way we are. We should live a reckless faith life. You know that, what's that song? The never-ending, overwhelming, reckless love of God. I'm not talking about reckless as in, you know, not taking care of things. But I'm telling you that your love for the Lord and your love for this community should be reckless enough to where you're willing to take some risk. Because guess what? You're going to get your feelings hurt. You're going to get some doors slammed in your face. You're going to get talked about. Because anything that God's doing, anything that God does, people are going to talk about it, right? See, if you want to reach the promised land that God has for Herman Baptist, you as God's people must choose to follow God. It must be a conscious choice that you make to follow God. See, this journey for God can be very simple, but only if we choose to keep it simple and follow God. Turn in your Bibles real quickly, and we're going to read a couple of verses in Joshua chapter 3, and then we'll close this thing out. Because it's important, you know, a lot happened between the first time that the children of Israel left Egypt and Joshua chapter 3. A lot happened, a lot of pain, a lot of disappointment, a lot of death. A lot has happened along the way, but finally, in the story of the children of Israel, they've decided to quit rejecting God. They've decided that they're going to follow the man that God has placed in front of them. And Joshua chapter 3, verse 1 says this, "Then Joshua rose early in the morning. He and all the sons of Israel set out from Shittim and came to the Jordan, and they lodged there before they crossed. At the end of 3 days, the officers went through the midst of the camp, and they commanded the people, saying, 'When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, your God, with the Levitical priests carrying it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. However, there shall be between you and it a distance of about 2,000 cubits by measure. Do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you shall go, for you have not passed this way before.'" Now, I want to stop right here, and I want to give you a piece of advice for your new pastor. He's going to come in here, and you need to give him room to breathe. You need to give him room to learn you. See, you have to learn one man. You have to learn one pastor. He's got to learn about all of you. He has to learn about your pain, your past, all those things. In order to minister to you well, you have to give him some time. Same thing that God told Joshua here. He said, "Let that ark move out and don't get too close yet, because you've not been here before. You've never taken the steps that you're about to take." And that's the way I feel about Herman Baptist. I believe, I'm trusting that God is about to do something here that you've never done before. And I pray that that's not closed the doors. But I'm praying that God is about to do something here that has never happened before. And I pray that you will give your new pastor room to learn you. Don't put too many demands on him in the beginning. Because Pastor Mike told me this a while back, several times. He said it takes a pastor a couple of years to really get up to speed in a church. Because it takes that much time for him to learn you and to learn the community. And to learn what the needs are. Don't rush him. If he's in here 6 months from now and things aren't going great, just lift him up in prayer. Don't put more pressure on him. Do you hold him accountable? Yes. That's the job of the leaders, other leaders of this church. But don't force him to make hasty decisions. I've watched it happen in churches before where a new pastor comes in and you just rush him. That he gets bull rushed. And he panics, and he starts making horrible decisions from the pulpit. And what'll happen? He'll be gone. He'll be gone two or three years from now. He'll be gone, and you'll have to go through the whole process again. Give him time. Give him time to be your leader. Give him time so you'll know where he's going. Let him get out ahead of you a little bit, enough to see where he's going. Because he can't see if you're clustered around him too tightly. Lift him up where he can see God, and lift him up to where he can see where God has taken this church. Verse 5 of Joshua 3 says, "Then Joshua said to the people, 'Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you.'" He did not say, "I'm going to consecrate you." And that's another lesson for this church to learn from this story. Your pastor will not make you a better Christian if you're not willing to be one yourself. What his job is to do is to tell you the way to consecrate yourselves. And that's what Joshua did to them. They had been taught how to consecrate themselves. You, as a church, I pray that you will spend this week preparing yourself to follow Nate Martin. Because you haven't been here before. He's a new leader. There's new ground. There's new ground to be broken. There's new things that God has for this church. And I pray that you will do these things. You will give him the room to be the pastor that God wants him to be. Because after this, in verse 6, it says that Joshua spoke to the priest, saying, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant and cross over ahead of the people." So they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went ahead of the people. And then the Lord said to Joshua, "This day I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that just as I've been with Moses, I will be with you." See, that's what I'm saying. If you do the things it takes to lift your new pastor up, allow God to exalt him. Allow God to exalt him. Allow God. Don't when he gets in here, if he preaches two or three rip-roaring sermons, don't make him too proud. Don't make him too proud. Allow God to exalt that man. You can cheer him on, you can love on him, and you can tell him you can tell him whatever you want to tell him, but don't create pride in a young preacher. Don't do that. Don't set him up like that, because God will exalt him in due time. That's what happened with Joshua. Verse 9 says, "Then Joshua said to the sons of Israel, 'Come here and hear the words of the Lord your God.' And Joshua said, 'By this you shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will assuredly dispossess from before you the Canaanite, the Hittite, the Hivite, and the Perizzite, and the Girgashite, and the Amorite, and the Jebusite. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth is crossing over ahead of you into the Jordan. Now then, take for yourselves 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one man from each tribe. It shall come about when the soles of the feet of the priests who carry the ark of the Lord of all the earth, rest in the waters of Jordan. The waters of Jordan will be cut off, and the waters which are flowing down from above will stand in one heap.' So when the people set out from their tents to cross Jordan with the priest carrying the Ark of the Covenant before the people, and when those who carried the Ark came into the Jordan, and the feet of the priest carrying the Ark were dipped in the edge of the water, for the Jordan overflows all its banks all the days of harvest, the waters which were flowing down from above stood up and rose up in one heap, a great distance away at Adam, the city that is beside Zarethan. And those which were flowing down toward the Sea of the Arabah of the Salt Sea were completely cut off. So the people crossed opposite Jericho. And the priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan, while all Israel crossed on dry ground until all the nation had finished crossing the Jordan." God keeps his promises. You can write it down. You can mark it down in your Bible. If you have to write it on every page, write it on every page. God keeps his promises. Why is it that Joshua was able to lead people into the promised land so easily? Was he a better leader than Moses? No. The answer is simple. God had made a promise and he would keep it. And all the people had to do was claim what was already theirs. But for 40 years they refused to follow God. They refused. See, the most important thing for Herman Baptist in the weeks and months to come is this. You need to trust God. Leaders come and go. God never changes. God never changes. God never changes. God never changes. Men do. Men and women do. See, the whole issue with Israel had nothing to do. Hear me. Listen to me. The whole issue with Israel had nothing to do with the leader. It had everything to do with the fact that the people refused to trust God. It's a choice you and I make. So I have a question for you. Do you as a church want to see God's promised land for Herman Baptist? Do you? Do you? I mean, really, y'all wake up. Do you want to see God's promise land for this church? Good. You want to see God do miracles here in this place? Then commit today that you will trust God no matter what. That's a choice you have to make. God's not going to force anything. God will not make you. God is a God of liberty. And I told y'all that one day, someday when I come back, I'll be back here some. I'm going to preach a message on the liberty and freedom that God has given us and how much God treasures that. God treasures liberty and freedom. God gives you the choice. You can follow God or you can reject Him. You can trust Him or you can just say, well, hey, I believe He saved me, but that's about all I believe Him. But I'm just going to tell you, if this faith that you have in God to save you is no better than that, then you probably ought to ask God, am I saved? Because the same faith that saved you is the same faith that keeps you. It's the faith that God gave you, not yours. Commit today to follow God and trust your leaders as they follow God. Take a stand today and say, yes, for whatever reason, God has allowed us to drift for a while, but we will not be bitter. We will not complain. We will stand up for God and move forward and claim the promises that are already ours. The past is the past. We'll leave it there. God wants us to move forward. This is the commitment you need to make to God. The past is the past. Have there been failures? Yes. Have there been successes? Yes. Leave them there. God is a God of moving forward. And if you want to claim God's promises for Herman Baptist, you must move forward. And that was the message that God gave Joshua. He said, get moving. Same message He gave Abraham all those years before. He said to Abraham, get up, pack your stuff. You're going to a land where I'm going to bless you. Did Abraham know where he was going? Had no idea. Yet he got up and went. And it's because Abraham believed God, it was counted unto him as righteousness. And God kept the promise He made to Abraham because one simple thing. Abraham acted on the faith that he had already been given. He acted on that faith. And he took that first step. And it was all because of that first step of faith that Abraham took out of his tent that all this was possible. It's why you and I are here. It's why we have Jesus Christ. It's why we have a Savior. Because where did Jesus Christ come from? Abraham, right? He's from Abraham's bloodline. That's the blessing. The blessing is not the land. You know, they've been fighting over that land in Israel forever, and they always will. It's not the land. The promise that God gave Abraham that He would bless all the nations was simply about one person. It was about Jesus Christ. Starting today, make the commitment. We will follow God no matter what, because we know He will take us into His promised land if we only believe. Let's pray. God, I thank You for Your word. I'm thankful that I can know. God, I can stand and testify that You do keep Your promises. God, I know that they don't always look like what we think they're going to look like. We don't always get what we want, but we do always get what we need. God, I'm thankful that even that You allow the hard times, You allow the wilderness times to teach us lessons. God, forgive us for not learning those lessons easier. God, we know it's easy for us to read a story about this story about the children of Israel and to shake our heads and wag our fingers and say, oh, how dare they? But God, we know we do it every day. We choose the wilderness over the promised land because we don't trust You. God, help us to believe. Help us to trust You. Give us the faith. Give this church the faith it's going to take these next steps as they finally have gotten a pastor. But God, keep it ever present in the mind of this church that Nate Martin cannot lead them if they choose not to follow him. God, help him. I pray Your hand of blessing over him, over his family. I pray, God, that You would that this church would lift him up and that he would keep his eyes fixed on You, and that way they can see You working here. God, I pray Your blessing over this church. I don't know the hearts of the people. I don't know who's here today. I don't know if there's one here that doesn't know You as Savior. And God, if there's one that doesn't know You as Savior, that's the most important thing here today. Not one word that's been said is it any more important than that person coming to know You as Savior. God, I pray that You would pierce the hearts of people. God, I pray that You would help the leaders of this church to do the right thing as they move forward. I pray that You would cast out every bit of pride and that You would grant this church unity and humility as one body. I pray, God, that you would watch over this church. I pray you would watch over Nate and that you would guide them by your Holy Spirit to reach this community. God, there's people we know living all around this place that have never even heard your name. They don't believe in you. And it's our job as church members, as the body of Christ, to be the love of God to those people and to allow you through that love to draw them. Use this church, I pray, God. I pray you would use your word from this morning. I pray, God, that something that's been said this morning would bring honor and glory to your name. If people need to come and pray or whatever it is they may need, if they need to make a decision right where they are, God, I just pray that your Spirit would guide them and lead them and help them to make the right decisions and that they would choose today to believe you and know that you keep your